present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud, and Geraldine Jones in just a minute. As the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much indeed. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. Well, as you just heard, we have four experienced campaigners at this game of Just a Minute. So just let me remind you, first of all, in case you may not have heard it before, of the rules of the game. I'm going to ask each of these competitors to speak for just a minute on some unlikely subject which they know nothing about, without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviation, in other words, going off the subject. I think the best of the game will become apparent as we go along, and let us start this week with Derek Nimmo. Derek, can you talk for just a minute on giving up smoking, starting now?
Last summer, on a beautiful day in the Mediterranean, I was sailing in a three-masted schooner up about 45 miles off the coast of Mallorca. And there we anchored, and looking down to the sea, we saw bubbles coming to the surface. My old friend Smolensky King, Smoot of his chums, had dived to the bottom of the Mediterranean.
Kenneth Williams.
His
name, I'm just explaining his name.
And you're very rapid.
Yes, because his name was Smolensky King. We used to call him Smoot King, you see. That's his nickname. And as he had gone to the bottom of the water, we were giving him up because we thought he'd drown. Giving up Smoot King?
Oh, very
No words at all.
Well, so are the audience as well. Anyway, Derek, you've managed with that cleverness to gain yourself an extra point, and with 24 seconds left for giving up smoking, you start now.
The best way, of course.
Clement Freud, by your chance.
Terrible hesitation.
Now, I must be fair, yeah, if you'd said hesitation, I would agree, but it wasn't a terrible
hesitation.
No, it's too late. No, it wasn't a terrible hesitation.
You're
so
repeating yourself now.
I know.
You repeated yourself a lot.
But I don't lose points when
I
do it. Derek Nimmo. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, Derek Nimmo couldn't come today. We have Derek Nimmo instead. Derek, you have another point and 33 seconds left for giving up smoking, starting now.
Get rid of the rubbishy stuff. This will do you no good. I look at this person and I say, those are not for me.
Can you put your
hesitation?
No. There's no hesitation. It's very funny when you say it.
If I may say, Mr. Williams, I have a national impediment and it's unfortunate to make my...
All I can say, Derek, is
that rubbish.
Derek, do watch your natural impediment in case it goes against you the next time. This time I'm with you with another point and 24 seconds left for giving up smoking, starting now.
I had a fire in my flat 2 weeks ago. This has made me give up.
Clement Freud, hesitation that time undoubtedly. Yes, giving up smoking, Clement, with 20 seconds left, starting now.
Giving up smoking is an absurdly easy thing to do because people do it over and over again.
Derek Williams.
Repetition.
I must point out that Derek Williams couldn't come to the show either today. Derek Nimmo.
Thank you. Repetition over and over again.
That is absolutely right. Yes, it's a very obvious type of repetition.
Oh,
you have 14 seconds
left.
Over and over again sounds to me extremely repetitious, and I'm entirely with Derek Nimmo.
Oh, I think you should ask the audience, which you do.
All right, I will ask the audience if that's how you feel.
Yes, go on, ask them.
I am not afraid, and the audience who are here will
He's
be
gone
the...
white. Look at you.
Well, you've gone red, Kenneth. No, let's be ebullient.
I'm always ebullient.
Well, keep your ebullience down for a moment, please. Well, I put it to the audience without fear. I will ask you to be the final judges and arbiters. Do you think that Derek Nimmo's challenge was justified? And if you do, will you please cheer over and over again? And if you don't think it was justified, will you please boo? And will you all do it together now? Yeah. Kenneth Williams, you will be the judge. Which do you want? The cheers?
The boo, the most definitely happy.
Oh, yes, isn't I? Kenneth Williams.
Oh, Milo.
You're on that side of the room with Clement Freud. You have helped Clement to get a point. I hope he remembers it when you're in difficulties, because Clement has a point, and he has 14 seconds left for giving up smoking, starting now.
Now,
Derek Nimmer, you challenge.
Hesitation.
You have your point, Derek. With 13 seconds left. Well, giving up smoking starting now.
Kenneth Williams is one of those people that when they're hot, steaming and smoking, one should certainly give up. I've always said this to my friends. If you see this fellow...
I've always said it's repetition. Within the meaning of the act.
Well, it wasn't a moment ago.
We've always said it.
All I can say is the audience decided that over and over again was not repetition, which to me is more repetition than I've always said. So I think I must be fair here. Derek Nimmer has still got it, and he has 5 seconds left with another point for giving up smoking starting now.
Drink a bottle of...
Clement Freud, you challenge one.
Repetition.
I don't think so, no. 4.5 seconds left for Derek Nimmer starting now.
I wanted to go to see a woman, and there she was on the high hills.
Deviation.
Why?
Nothing to do with giving up smoking.
Really? Seeing a woman? I think seeing a woman is a jolly good way to give up smoking. Derek Nimmer is rushing into the lead with another point, and he has 2 seconds left for giving up smoking starting now.
Rotten Rose, full of faggots. That's why.
The non-smoking kick has given Derek Nimmer a commanding lead of 9 points, and Clement Freud has 3. Kenneth Williams all right, Mr. Nimmer, please, just continue. And Kenneth Williams has 1. Geraldine has yet to score, but it's only the end of the first round, so, Clement, let us carry on with you to start this time. Hackneyed phrases. Would you please try and talk for just a minute on this, starting now?
Hackneyed phrase is the sort of...
Derek Nimmer.
Hesitation.
Yes, it does seem a pity, but he hardly got going.
Yeah,
but, alas, it is true. Hesitation, you have
a bit shaken, I think, actually. Shaken.
All right. 55, 6 seconds for happy phrases, Derek, starting now.
Whoa. Gee up. Come on, Dad.
Nah.
These are the phrases.
Clement Freud, why do you try?
Nah is not a phrase.
It is. If I may say. May I just?
Yes. If you can, yes.
If you're in a hackney cab. Horse-drawn hackney cab. It's a very hackney phrase.
It's not a phrase.
I think...
Goodness, the audience is with you, isn't it?
The audience may be with you, Derek, but I think a hackneyed phrase does mean a phrase that is intelligible to an audience. So, Clement, you have the point on the subject. You have 52 seconds left for hackneyed phrases starting now.
Do you come here often?
Geraldine Jones, you wish to reply?
Hesitation.
Hesitation is correct, yes. Hackneyed phrases, Geraldine Jones, starting now.
A long time ago, when Clement Freud was a young man, do you come here often was a hackneyed phrase. Nowadays, however, the fashion has changed, and hackneyed phrases tend to be much more obscure and multisyllabic. Things like counterproductive and participation of the people, democratization of factories, all...
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, I think she was giggling, actually.
Very lovely.
Lovely stuff, lovely. Lovely stuff. Shall we
not
let her
really
continue?
Galactic.
Shall we see if she continue with her lovely stuff? All right, yes. The audience want to see, Geraldine, if you can continue with another point, with the lovely stuff. Hackneyed phrases, starting now.
The audience is proving that it is really a gimme, but I shall try and continue. Hackneyed phrases are often those phrases which come most readily to mind in moments of extremity, like the moment that I am experiencing now. Phrases like...
Derek Nimmer.
I'm afraid I hate it, but phrases that have been too many, actually. I'm so sorry, it's repetition. I do beg Mr.
Are you saying the word repetition of hackneyed phrases?
No, just phrases.
Not a gentleman.
No, you could have had it for hesitation. I'm not going to let you have that one, Derek.
All right.
Geraldine is 1 woman against 3 men.
She has another point.
Well, Kenneth Williams is on your side, Geraldine, as well as the audience, I think. So you have 14 seconds left for hackneyed phrases, starting now.
There is a type of romantic novel which is particularly rich in the sort of disease that we're discussing at the moment. Falling in love, eclipsing...
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
No.
Don't start raving mad. You want to give it all to Geraldine Jones?
It was
fluent, wasn't it? Beautifully fluent. It was very fluent, but there was a slight hesitation there. So Clement Freud has another point, and he has 6, 7 seconds left for happiness. When you win a point, do you want to give that one to Geraldine Jones as well, Kenneth?
No, I might feel like plating.
All right. Here, Clement Freud, 7 seconds for hackneyed phrases starting now.
On a clear day, you can see the seaside is one of the most hackneyed phrases that landladies in boarding houses along our coast...
In case people haven't spotted it already, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. Clement, you have taken second place behind Derek Nimmer, who still has a very definite lead. Geraldine Jones in third place, and Kenneth Williams has one single point at present. Kenneth, would you discourse, if you can, for just a minute on the pop scene starting now?
There are various descriptions of the pop scene. It can, of course, refer to the time when the curtain goes up on these rows and rows of ginger pop bottles, and that's made of this sort of mineral water, sparkling, impregnated with ginger, and used by the comics, and they pretend to get drunk. It must be mixed up with Kumis, which is, of course, fermented mare's milk and frequently drunk in Outer Mongolia, and lovers drink it with their arms intertwined and sing the traditional air, "There's an old scene by the mill, Nelly Dean." It's all wrong, of course. There's no old mill there anymore, because it's all nowadays done by electricity.
But there is Nimmo, why you challenge?
Deviation onto electricity and old mares and very little of the pop scene.
Well, I thought, according to the way Kenneth started, that he was onto this curious type of pop drink.
Yeah.
And I thought I was still in a sort of poppy drink, is that right?
Well, the pop scene, the pantomime was all about. That's true. That's how various.
Oh, you want a pantomime? Oh, then it's definitely dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It's not off it now, yes.
Yeah, but I'll carry on to the other one in any minute.
I don't think.
Why should I be? Yes, I'm still on it. Not on the mare's milk.
I think out of your own mouth you have committed yourself to a complete deviation. We don't know whether to think you are. There you are.
I give up gracefully.
All right.
Very gracefully.
Well, I didn't know you brought grace with you, but you can get. Anyway, Derek, no, you have the subject, an extra point, of course, and you have 28 seconds for the pop scene starting now.
American pop, sarsaparilla, dandelion and burlap. Ginger fizz, ginger pop. Lemonade.
Geraldine Jones, why do you challenge?
Hesitation
is correct. The pop scene is with you now, Geraldine, with 23 seconds left, starting now.
The pop scene is such a hackneyed phrase that I'm reluctant to talk about it all together.
Clement Freud,
deviation. Which she's not going to talk about it.
I said I was reluctant. I was going to force myself.
However you justify, Geraldine, I think that challenge deserves a point and the subject. Clement, you have it. You have 15 and a half seconds for the pop scene starting now.
We seem to have established in the last round that if you giggle, it can't be counted as invitation. I'm therefore going to giggle for the next 14 seconds.
We enjoyed the giggle, Clement, but during your giggle you were challenged. Derek Nimmer, why do you challenge?
Well, on two scores, it was a repetitious giggle.
Yes.
And deviation.
Why? Why was it deviation?
It's talking about giggling. So
that is the pop scene. It's a very happy scene.
Yeah, but that doesn't justify. I can't give you 2 points, I'm afraid, Derek, but you have 1 point, and you have 10 seconds for the pop scene starting now.
Down we go, twanging our guitars in dark, dank cellars with our long hair switching around our...
Kenneth Williams, why do you chant?
Nothing to do with a pop scene.
It sounds extremely explicit at the pop scene, as I've seen it on the occasion.
Mixing it all up with mods and rockers. That's not the pop scene.
Well, we obviously have some mods and rockers in the audience. I think it describes a certain pop scene that I have seen. If you'll forgive the pun. So, Derek Nimmo, you have another point. The audience obviously haven't forgiven the pun. So you have 5 seconds for the pop scene starting now.
Half a pound of company rice, half a pound of treacle. That's the way the weasel goes. Pop goes the weasel.
Geraldine, why I believe in fairies is the subject, and would you talk, if you can, for just a minute, starting now?
I believe that a Frenchman once wrote that if there were no fairies, we would have to invent them. And this essentially is why I believe in them. If it were not for my belief, how would I know that when a little girl loses a milk tooth and puts it in a saucer of salt overnight, it wouldn't be replaced in the morning by a sixpence? The little winged creature...
Clement Freud, why are you trying? Hesitation, alas, is correct. You have 35 seconds for why I believe in fairies, Clement Freud, starting now.
I believe in fairies because I meet them so very frequently. Mostly in Hyde Park, but also in Green Park, St. James's Park, and many other greeneries around London, where they dance in little rings of an evening.
Derek Neal, why do you challenge?
Hesitation, you're sort of grinding to a halt.
Well, I definitely...
Let me stop when you buzzed. I saw your finger on the...
You were grinding away a little bit, yes, definitely. Derek Neal, you have a point, you have 20 seconds for why I believe in fairies starting now.
Down in Wiltshire I saw my first fairy. There he stood, with gossamer wings, a little silken shroud enveloping his legs, and two little green shoes. He was an unusual berry. In fact, people have told me that they've never seen such a beautiful one as the one that I saw.
Kenneth, it was rather charming.
Yes, and how could they have talked about it if you were the one that saw it?
I said, I described it. Actually, you could have had it for deviation, because that's something is why I believe in fairies. He's talking about the fairy he saw. Kenneth, you have the subject with, of course, an extra point, and there are 2 seconds left for why I believe in fairies starting now.
Well, I had to, because we were in this hat now, I'm thinking.
Well, as Kenneth was speaking, as the whistle went, he's gained another point, but he's still trailing a little behind Geraldine Jones, who's still a little behind Clement Freud, who's still behind Derek, who's still in the lead. And, Derek, it is your turn to begin. What to do if you get stuck in the elevator? Some people might say the lift, but the elevator covers many countries. So, Derek, there's the subject. Have you thought about it? Would you please try and talk for just a minute, starting now?
Of course, it's tremendously dependent upon who you're stuck in the elevator with. If I was stuck in the elevator with Clement Freud, I should try and keep a dignified and distant silence. If I was stuck in the elevator with Kenneth Williams, I should be apprehensive. If I was stuck in the elevator with the lovely Miss Jillwall Jones on my side, I call her Jillwall Jones because that's where she hails from, then I perhaps would not be so silent, and maybe would behave
like Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
Yes. Clement, you have the subject of 35 seconds for what to do if you get stuck in the elevator starting now.
If you get stuck in an elevator, the best thing to do is to scream loudly and strongly until help comes. If you get stuck in a lift, which is sometimes also called an elevator, then there's nothing for it but to pick up the small telephone if provided, dial the numbers which are written on the telephone and say, excuse me, I am in the position in which you've asked me to do what I'm now doing, which is darling, please send someone at once to assist me and help me to get out of this predicament. And in the fullness of time, when this happens to...
Kenneth Williams, you can't
mention.
Yes, it was a pity because he was going so marvellous.
Shame,
yes. Kenneth, you have another point. You challenged at just the right time because there's only 1.5 seconds left. But what to do if you get stuck in the elevator starting now?
You actually screamed.
You challenged why?
Hesitation.
Hesitation, undoubtedly. Yes, Clement Freud, you have the subject back. Another point. What to do? What to do if you get stuck in the elevator for 1 second starting now?
No, no.
I'm sorry, no, just a minute. Derek Nimmer, you challenged why?
Hesitation.
Undoubtedly hesitation, Derek. Oh. You have another point. You have 1 second left for what to do if you get stuck in the elevator starting now.
No!
No! Geraldine, you challenge.
It's my turn to get a point for hesitation.
Yes, definitely. You know, Geraldine's got another point for hesitation. Oh. You have 0.5 seconds left for what to do if you get stuck in the elevator starting now. So everybody got a point on that last little bit, except Kenneth Williams, who looked most shocked of all. So I was had you in mind, actually, Kenneth, to try and put you a little bit further forward with this sort of little gimmick. But you lost the opportunity there. How are you, gentlemen?
Again.
So you're still training behind Geraldine Jones, who's behind Clement Freud, who's behind Derek Nimmer. In that order, we carry on to the next round. Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. You might yet catch up, if you're keen. Interstellar space. That is a subject. I'll give you a second to think about it. And will you start now, please?
Interstellar space can be, of course, that region where you get the planets and your constellations, and it can be the space reserved for interring stellar. This has been referred to, actually, in your drama, for Shakespeare himself is lend me your ears, I come to bury Stella, not to pray.
Clement Freud. Clement Freud, you challenged one.
Invitation.
Yes, I'm afraid so, yes. Also very devious, he didn't come to bury Stella, did he?
Well, you know what I mean, I was illustrating the point with that. Of course, I'm no fool, Ducky.
You will be, unless you keep your hand on your buzzer, you won't get any points. All right, Clement Freud, you have the subject, you have another point, and you have 43 seconds left for interstellar space starting now.
The entire atmosphere over the cornfields and under the stars could reasonably be referred to as interstellar space, because space has no actual limit. Space is an oxygen-filled pocket of air which hovers over the Earth and under the sky.
Kenneth Williams,
what? Inaccurate is true. There's a deviation, you see. But there isn't oxygen in certain places, so you have to be in a capsule.
Would you like to say all that again a bit slower, so we understand?
He said all of space, he said, had oxygen in it.
Yes.
Filled with oxygen. Well, it's not. That's why you have to have these go up in these tubes.
That's
where you take your own oxygen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll leave it to you. I don't know whether there's oxygen anywhere in space. Will you please be the judges? Because you probably know more than any of us here about space and oxygen. If you think that Kenneth Williams' challenge was justified, will you please cheer? If you think it was unjustified, will you boo? Will you please all do it now?
Yes. Hooray!
You let forth your oxygen in great aplomb. So, Kenneth Williams, you have a point, and you have the subject with 35 seconds for interstellar space starting now.
Yes, well, this
you place. Shouldn't have done it, you see. Clement Freud's got it back again. Why? Hesitation, you see.
I haven't started.
I know you have. And not only hadn't you started, it looked as if you couldn't start. So, Clement, you have another point. You have interstellar space starting. 29 seconds starting now.
Interstellar space.
Derek Nimmer.
Hesitation.
Hesitation. For interstellar space, 27 seconds left, starting now. I remember the first time I met Stella Space. What a dear girl she was. With our lovely blonde hair trailing down her back. We went off for a picnic, I remember, on the sandhills just outside New Brighton. And there I saw her lying in her bikini.
Kenneth Williams. Yes, no sandhills outside New Brighton.
I'm sure we'll get lots of letters from New Brighton, but it's Kenneth Williams.
I went there to Petrodunk.
We're going to get even more letters from New Brighton. Before we get the whole of New Brighton marching down to Broadcasting House.
Now,
Kenneth,
lovely sandhills, too.
Williams, will you carry on with interstellar space for the last 8 seconds, starting now?
This space reserved for her, and at the obsequies, they have Stella Heights, who mum in fives and sixes and sevens sometimes.
In spite of the remarks about New Brighton, Kenneth Williams, with his interstellar space, has jumped into second place, 1 point ahead of Geraldine Jones. But they're both trailing quite considerably behind Derek Nimmer and Clement Freud, who are still neck and neck, exactly equal. Geraldine, it's your turn to begin. Why I've given up stockings in preference for tights? And will you please talk for just a minute, starting now?
I'm not going to give any of those reasons which might be rather improper and embarrassing to the audience on the grounds of chastity for giving up stockings in preference for tights. Instead, I would explain simply that I have a very small foot and a very short leg, and most stockings don't therefore fit me. Because, you see, when I get the stocking on and pull it to the top, because my leg gets fatter and fatter towards the top, the stocking won't reach. On the other hand, they make tights which, when you put them on, stretch much more effectively than any stockings ever stretch, and they go right up to a nice, comfortable position. And this basically is my reason. I also have to confess that I'm extremely influenced by advertising, and I find it very difficult to resist all those glorious women who imply that if only you wear tights instead of stockings, you will not only look nice about the legs, but you'll look nice everywhere as well.
Oh, Derek Nimmer, she almost did it. But you challenge, why?
Well, hesitation.
No, definitely not right.
No.
She went for 50 seconds, and why I've given up stockings in preference for tights for the last 5 seconds, Geraldine, starting now.
Also, I'm a certain, it's rather,
Oh, you're browbeating her, Derek. As Geraldine is the only person to have spoken for such a considerable length of time without anybody challenging her, I'm going to give her a bonus point for that. She nearly did 60 seconds, she only did 50, but she has one bonus point. She began flummoxed at the end by being challenged because she was in full flood, and there are 3 seconds left for Derek Nimmer to talk about. Why I've given you, brought this on yourself, Derek, why I've given him stockings in preference for tights, starting now.
Well, I read it from Stanley's Beastly Nylon, do you know?
I found. So, with that last little flourish from Derek Nimmer, it's time for the last to finish. With Kenneth Williams and Geraldine Jones almost equal in third place, a long way behind Clement Freud, who is only 2 points behind this week's winner, Derek Nimmer. Thank you.
chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hare. Thank you.